Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. The Recovery Cafe here in Port Townsend is one of those places that prioritizes a sense of belonging and recognizes the potential in each of us as they provide support, resources, and a community of care along the entire continuum of a person's need for recovery support. Brian Richardson, program manager at the Dove House Recovery Cafe, helped to launch this community space, and we're happy to be reconnecting with him on the progress thus far. Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Missy.
We also have joining us today Tom Young, one of their resilient and committed volunteers. Tom, thanks for joining us as well.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks.
So, Brian, I never like to assume that our listeners have heard a previous episode, but this is, I think, our third time to have you on, and it's a newly launched program that lives under the umbrella of the Dove House. But would you help us understand just the overall concept around the Recovery Cafe? I believe it's a national franchise, or it's an international or local. Can you tell us a little bit about the focus?
Of course, be happy to. I loved your introduction, by the way, at the beginning. I feel like you captured the essence and the values that we try to bring to the work. So just like you said, Recovery Cafe is a community of people who are recovering from all of the above, whether that's addiction, mental illness, homelessness, life challenges. We actually say everybody's in recovery from something. So we're just trying to build a community together where we can be safe and build the support and healthy relationships we need to move forward in our lives. So you had alluded to the Recovery Cafe Network, and it started as a nationwide network of organizations. And actually, there's a new member in British Columbia. So I guess you could say it is international now. So we're one of 20 different, actually, there must be more now, 25, maybe 30. I can't remember. It's probably on their website, but there are several recovery cafes. And so we're just one of many across the country.
You know, in reading your website and talking to you in the past, one of the components that I think it would be great for our listeners to learn a little bit more about is your concept of membership. I love that identifier. You know, it really does embrace that sense of belonging. But for someone to be a part of the community, they're a member, and there's like a membership requirement, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's a membership-based program. You could compare it to any other type of like club, you know, maybe like an Elks Lodge or something like that, where you become a member. And instead of paying dues, though, you make three commitments as a member, one of which is to attend one recovery circle per week, which is a peer-led support group. The second is to be sober when you show up. And all that means is sober for 24 hours. And we don't test that. We don't do UAs or anything like that. But if you've had a slip or anything like that, that's okay. We just ask you to come back when you're sober to your circle next time. And then the third commitment is to give back to the Recovery Cafe community in some way. So this is the part where we can really honor people's different strengths and gifts and talents. They can contribute whatever it is that they have to share. So some people may help out mopping floors or wiping tables or helping cook in the kitchen. But for others, it may just be that they're a listening ear in the cafe. They're there to just be present with someone else.
Well, you know, Tom, we have you sitting here quietly listening. I'm very curious, Tom, what brought you to the Recovery Cafe in terms of being a volunteer, and what role do you play?
I play a role of just trying to be here whenever I can and help however I can, because it makes me feel good. And I know I'm helping in some ways. And what brought me here was kind of a family issue that I had a grandson that died from alcohol abuse last year. And it just so happened that the Recovery Cafe was just getting started at that time. And it's almost like it was waving me in to find a path to try to feel good that I'm doing something that helps us all and makes me feel good. I mean, that's the bottom line is volunteering here makes me, empowers me. And And it's helpful in the same time. And it's a great group.
Well, Tom, I'm very sorry for your loss of your grandson. And oftentimes we do talk to guests that have been moved through pain and grief to action steps. And it is true. I mean, that idea that when you're giving and serving and doing for others, there's this incredible gift of, I feel like when I've been doing it, I get so much more out of it. And I appreciate your candor and just showing up and being that nimble person. That's pretty priceless. You're just not, you can be put in any bucket that's needed at the time when Brian says, huh?
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to be a supervisor. I just want to, if there's something I can do to help, I'm happy to do it.
Tom is a super volunteer here. He gets things done, and he's been such an integral part of the community already. I know a lot of my other coworkers are like, oh, what's going on at the cafe? Is Tom there? Has Tom showed up to help out? I'm sure he has.
Well, Tom, I was kind of curious, like from the lens of a volunteer, you know, I know that the Recovery Cafe is still kind of still launching and building. What's one of the most surprising aspects of your experience there in what you're doing?
I think, you know, I attend a recovery circle with a group. It's our group now. It's the first one we started here. And at first I was a little skeptical because I'm just, you know, I like being busy and doing things, but I wasn't sure if that was going to work for me, but it really does. And it's just, it's such a mixture of people and emotions and ideas that it's helpful for everybody. So I think the recovery circle is a special envelope. It's a special thing for us to jump into. And for me, that was the most surprising thing.
So Brian, Tom brings up one of the elements that the cafe focuses on. So imagine I'm a member, I'm walking through the door. You guys are fully open. I know we're going to have to talk a little bit about what that looks like, COVID. But let's just imagine this is not a COVID moment. I've walked through the door as a new member. And what kind of things might I see? What would I expect to have happen when I walk in?
Well, this is the thing I love doing, which is envisioning this future. And we do have the model of all the other recovery cafes to sort of jump off from, you know. But yeah, non-COVID, what I hope everyone would see is a really warm and welcoming space where you have someone at the front desk who's first saying, hi, welcome. What's your name? How can I help you? Come on in, you know, make yourself at home. And so we would want to greet someone just like that so that they feel hopefully comfortable and then start to get to know some of us there. And you would see tables and chairs like a lot of cafes have. We serve free meals and coffee. And then there are the other kinds of, you know, recovery circles like Tom talked about and classes that we hope to also run as well. And so I guess this maybe makes sense to talk about what it looks like during the pandemic. And so a lot of like what Tom talked about with the recovery circle, those are all virtual right now. And similarly, I was pretty skeptical about what can we accomplish virtually. That doesn't feel like community to me. You know, that's not what I pictured at all. Yeah. And I have been surprised, I don't know, on what we could actually accomplish. People are holding the space as I don't know if sacred is the right word, but as important, you know, as an important space for us to share what's going on with us, to connect with one another. I don't know if it was like this for you at the outset of the pandemic, but it was really, I don't know, it was scary, you know, it was really uncertain. And it was kind of like, how do we maintain these connections? So we actually started a second virtual recovery circle amidst the pandemic, thinking, wow, we're talking to a lot of people who are saying, I need to find a way to stay connected, and we don't know how long this is going to last. So,
Brian, I don't want to cut you off at one of the most critical points. I want to get the full depth of this. But I just want to make sure that for those listeners who are just joining us, you are listening to Everybody Can at KPTZ 91.9, and we're talking to the folks at the Recovery Cafe. Brian Richardson, the program manager, is telling us a bit about how they're approaching that physical distancing versus social distancing components of COVID. One of their main elements is called a recovery circle. So, Brian, do go on. I just wanted to make sure folks knew where they were checking in on this topic. So, so important for those of us who have a home, who may be having more stability in their life. We were pretty darn frightened and confused and just overwhelmed. Imagine those other layers for folks who are negotiating the challenge of sobriety, whatever they're working through. So go on, do tell us more about the silver linings, if you might.
Yeah, I actually, I really like that you distinguished between physical distancing and social distancing, because social distancing has kind of been the term du jour lately. And I would say what we're hopefully accomplishing through these virtual recovery circles is a form of social connection. And as you alluded to as well, with trying to live a life in recovery, and if that looks like being sober, or if that looks like recovering from mental illness or whatever other trauma, isolation is like the thing they tell you, don't do that, right? If anyone gives you advice for recovery, they say, don't isolate. And so, yeah, how do you remain like with these authentic connections when you can't physically, at least safely, be in the same space? So, you know, we're trying just like everyone else is. And I've been surprised, I guess, at how people have engaged with it. And they've talked about how it's been a really important part of their week. You know, you can kind of measure your week by it.
Well, how are they doing that? For example, if someone is compromised in terms of their housing stability, or how does one connect with you? Now, probably a great opportunity to put out a website or an address. If I am indeed thinking about these things that I need that support for, how would they do it in this kind of physically distanced tech way? And how would they reach you?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So I'll just take this as an opportunity, I guess, to talk a little bit about equity. And so what we have in the pandemic is a situation where those who have access to technology can gain the support that they need for their recovery. So that's the folks who are attending our current recovery circles. And we all need that connection. So it's not that anyone is good or bad or anything because they have access or not, but just to say that those who don't have access, it is a lot tougher. And my heart kind of breaks sometimes because we're not done with our building yet. And so I do still look forward to the day where, for those who don't have access to technology, that they can still come to our space in some form. And what that looks like will be determined, you know, day by day, week by week, I'm sure. But for now, the best way to get in touch with us is our website, recoverycafejc.org, or they can email me at Ryan, B-R-I-A-N-R, at dovehousejc.org.
And you're listed as one of the services, say, for example, at your partner nonprofits at the Dove House, as a place that they could go to and then begin that connecting process, whether it's directly with social or physical distancing, or also with tech services and support that allows them to join a recovery circle. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was a big hurdle at especially the outset of the pandemic, was just providing some of that like teleconnection support. Yeah. You know, like, all right, let's get on the phone and figure Zoom out together, you know? So yeah, we were very happy to do that.
Yeah, that's a great segue, because I know your website is pretty phenomenal, and it really does address, there's a page that talks about all the training. And do you have some training on coming up for volunteers? And we could talk about COVID-friendly processes in terms of your volunteers and what's entailed there.
Yeah, we have a monthly training that we do, and those have moved virtually since May. We took a bit of a break while we figured things out, but so the recordings are posted on our website, and our next one is going to be Friday, August 21st, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. There is a registration on our website, which makes it really a lot easier for me to kind of manage everybody. The topic for this next one is Addiction 101. We've invited a local professional who has a substance use disorder license, and they will come speak with us about the disease model of addiction and a little bit about recovery as well. And we'll keep doing that every month. So it's the third Friday of every month.
So Tom, you're in one of those recovery circles. About how many people are in that group? Is it?
Well, I think that when we have everyone, it might be 12. So, you know, it'll range between 8 and 12, depending on, some people have something else they have to do then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and so we're all friends.
That's a critical part of any time, but especially in this time. where we're feeling so disconnected and perhaps a little less hopeful. So, Brian, training is consistent throughout all the other areas of your volunteer. You have other, can you give us some ideas of the specific things you need the most help with right now?
So we have a group of volunteers that are meeting in two different areas. One is folks who are going to help us sort out the food and kitchen operations. So we're working on like making sure everyone's going to have a food handler's permit and making sure we pass code and have the inventory of stuff we need. And then the second area is in advocacy. So what we're looking at in that area is what are ways that we can communicate to the public, to the community at large, about not only what it is that we're doing here at Recovery Cafe, but what is it that folks who are in recovery really need to sustain recovery? So, for example, affordable housing or access to food or things like that. So how do we, you know, tell recovery stories to reduce stigma? And then how do we advocate for getting those things, getting those needs met in our community?
Brian, as always, there's never enough time to get to the most compelling part. The advocacy is just such a cool component. If I consider myself as someone who wants to connect with people, if you're an extrovert, if you're someone who's more hands-on in terms of relationships, and with the amount of training you put out there, it sounds like it would be a wonderful program. And Tom, you, being able to just jump in and do all things, what an ideal person to have on board. And I, Tom, I look forward to the opportunity to have you come on again with Brian, and we could check in on where you might be targeting your heart and your hands with the Recovery Cafe.
Well, thank you. And I'll be around.
Okay. Thank you to both of you for joining us today. I'd also like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers who, in spite of the challenges to do so, tirelessly work to bring us local relevant news, uplifting stories, and eclectic music. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. From live stream to archive programs, we are here for you. If you've got a story you want to share with us about the hope and heart in this town, send me an email at everybodycan@kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, and make it a great day.